Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it. And we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now, you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
Holy Spirit, come. Because, Father God, if your Holy Spirit don't come, we don't have nothing worthy to be said. We thank you, Lord, how you kept us all weekend long up until this day. On this Tuesday night, Lord, we call it the hour of power, the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit. Bless every man, bless every woman, and bless every family that's represented here tonight. Continue to use us for your will and your purpose, God, because only what we do for you will ever last. Father, we continue, Lord, to give you the glory, to give you the honor, and give you the praise. Father, we thank you how you kept us, even during tough times for pandemic. Father, you have watched over you. And for that, we want to say thank you. Now, Lord, as we enter into this session, Lord, we ask you to come in and touch all of us one by one and name by name. For it's in the magnificent name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And let all God's people say amen.
Amen. Amen. Great job, Brother Jared. Great job. Before we get started, anybody got anything they want to share about between what, anything good news? Any good news from last Tuesday until now?
I just got a question. Excuse me. I just got a question. Brother Charles.
Brother Charles ain't on here.
I'm saying, is he all right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he good.
Okay.
Yeah, he good. You know, he had a grand sometime. They wear him out. Yeah, he should be popping on in a couple minutes, but.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. I don't think he was on last week either. That's why I asked.
Right. Anybody else?
Okay.
If not, I want to give the ladies a chance to introduce themselves and tell us a little about themselves before we jump into this monthly roundtable. Miss Amy?
Good evening. I'm Amy Smith from Louisiana. Mom.
Who that?
Not a whole lot to say about who I am, just a country girl.
Glad to have you back on again. Glad to have you back on again. Should be interesting tonight. Glad to have you. Ms. Dennis.
Hey, everyone. Sorry, of course, I'm always running late. Work late. But I am Janice. I'm a friend of George Clash, and I live in Memphis. Anybody want to come visit? Let me know.
Memphis. I lived in Memphis for a couple of years. I love Memphis. Love me. One of my favorites. Down.
Trying to get George to come for the classic. He's sleeping
that sounds like a men's trip right there, for real. That classic is straight up.
I told you.
That background don't look like Memphis.
That hey, background, I'm on the beach.
That background is beach. Not Memphis.
Hey, also, if my Zoom ends, I've been having problems with Zoom all day at work. If something happens and you get cut off, you know, don't hold it against me. I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay, thank you. Welcome back, Ms. Dennis.
Thank you.
The other young lady, name start with an M. I'm sorry, I didn't get the first part of it.
You want to mind introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. Forgive the beep. I can't get the battery out of my smoke detector. My name is Janine, and I'm tuning in from South Carolina.
Good. Who invited you? Glad to have you.
I believe it's Terry House and George.
Okay. Brother George, Brother Glenn, the boy's working. I got to get the rest of the guys on this recruiting trip. But anyway, glad to have you, ladies. Somebody put some on the table. I don't have anything. Normally, I do. I don't have anything today. If we don't have nothing, Brother George got something I know because we talked about it. Put it on the table, Brother George.
Amen. So we were just, as Glenn was talking, it just came in my spirit about the word education, how even on this call, God, that word sanctification is so powerful because and what sanctification means, that means God wants to set us apart for his alone. And so with that, I think about these men called women that are called tonight. And the beauty of see how God used every one of us as we maneuver through life and we maneuver through this, how powerful it is. How the word is impact our life, how Jesus Christ is impact our life. We all find out what our gifts are and allow God to use that, how he has sanctified us and used us for his purpose. And it's a powerful thing that when we can tap into that and the relationship that we have with him is so awesome. And that's why when I look at these men on the call, the love that goes through the airways and how many lives it's touched because of the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say this is awesome. Awesome. Our mind can't comprehend what's going on because Brother Glenn said we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything what God is going to do through these men and women that are on these on the call, the impact, the how we're going to touch people's lives that don't know Christ and how we can draw them to Christ.
Right. I got a question, and it just came to me. As a believer, although I always feel like I speak, I think before I speak, and I'm pretty comfortable with trying to say that I try not to talk unless I'm sure about what I'm saying. But how often do we think about the impact, genuinely, how impactful our words are to people? I had lunch with my wife earlier, and man, just trying to get back on the same page and to hear some of the things that I've said that's very impactful. How often do we really truly think about, do we want to be right or do we want to be loving?
But that's the thing about it is, you start to do a self where
you break it up bad, Glenn.
No.
Since Glenn's breaking up, I'm gonna jump in on that question. Y'all know how deep I can be, but I think
right.
Well, I'm gonna jump in again since Glenn is struggling. I think we have to be honest. I think you know, in my talk, in my walk, and with my wife, I've learned that I do say some things that maybe I gotta work on my approach, how I say things.
Right.
Like what I say needs to be honest and truthful, and I believe that I gotta learn how to say it with a lot of sympathy and empathy. But still, yeah, the truth need, you know, sometimes I say truth, the truth that I feel that's the truth, I say it aggressively, which comes off wrong. But I still think in my approach to her, honesty is always my key. I got to be thinking in love and honesty and in respect. And as long as I can stay with those three things, I don't have any guilt of what I've said, but I got to work on my approach and how I say it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
Oh, good. I like that, Jay. You
said what I was getting ready to say, and I like that because it's not how, what you say to be the truth, it's how someone perceives it. It may very well be the truth, but if you're harsh in your approach and you show no love in what you're mm-hmm. saying, no compassion in what you're saying, even though it's the truth, they can't receive it because it's like you're coming at them. And so that does make a difference. How you approach what you're going to say, you have to look at the mindset. If I'm always believing I'm right, that's an arrogant mindset to have because I'm going to say things and it doesn't make no difference how you take it. I'm just going to give it to you point blank. And that's right. That can't work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's like sometimes I'll say stuff to people, and I don't think that my words are that powerful, but they can come back to me 2 years later and say, thank you for saying this and that to me, even though I'm trying to be genuine. They can take it a different way and then come back and tell you something different. That's just like a text message. People try to read your voice in text message, and people can take it the wrong way or take it the right way. So,
right.
You know, that's a great example, text message. How many times somebody done sent you a text, didn't mean no harm?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you in an argument because the text says something that you didn't intend for it to say. And Lord forbid, autocorrect get itself in there and add some word that you didn't intend to be in the first place. And now you know.
Yeah.
And you wasn't even trying to start no confusion. You were trying to be genuine or something, but because the connotation of it, how somebody perceived it,
yes.
is going all the way in the left field. That's a lot of problems that people had in relationships. You know,
mm-hmm.
remember that book that was out, Women Are from Venus and Men Are from Mars? And it talked
about yeah.
we're from two different planets and we don't know how to communicate and live on Earth. And it takes some practice and it takes some humility. As Jerome said, I got to learn how not to be so aggressive in what I say. It may be my personality outside of my relationship, but if I use the same language with my woman as I use with the dudes that I work with, that's a problem.
And you know, and Glenn, a lot of it, when you got a military background, man, and you 29 years of military and law enforcement and all that stuff, man, and the ego that goes along with being those things, man, it's just so hard to separate that personality from our relationship standpoint. I'm working so hard now to try to put that aspect of my world, you know, once they say once you're military, you're always military. But, man, you know, I want my relationship to work, so I'm beginning to hate that side of me because I don't see it. I really honestly can say to you guys that I don't see myself when I'm in that aspect, when I'm being that, you know, that egotistical guy that I have a tendency to be sometimes. I don't see that, and I come across a way because I'm, you know, at this point, something needs to be said, and I'm just the type I'm going to say it, but I'm really working on that approach, like we were talking about, that approach that to not hurt the feelings while I'm saying it. But sometimes, you know, we try to avoid things, but on the flip side of it, Todd, we try to avoid things, and we try to sugarcoat things, and we push things under the rug. And I don't think that's solving the problem either, because the problem's still going on. But I do think as men, you know, we have to find a balance to make sure that, you know, we're being heard. And like Glenn said, we got to say it in a way to be heard, but don't say it so aggressively and so aggressively. So that's
right.
You said some powerful right there, Jerome. You said I for 24 years I was law enforcement and military. And we got to look at it. For the majority of our life, we spend with other people besides the person we live with. You think about it, 8 hours on a job with people that you work with every day, that you see every day. And by the time you come home from extracurricular activities, if you got anything else to do, you get to your wife around 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. You probably go to bed around 11 and start your day the next day. On the average, most spouses spend less than 5 hours a night together. less than 5 hours together. And that's not talking about sleeping beside each other in the bed. I mean, legitimately having a conversation, getting to know each other, sharing each other's experience, likes, dislikes, having conversations. They spend less than 5 hours a day. Think about it. By the time you get home from work, you shower, you eat, and you're ready to go to bed. You watch a little TV, you're ready to go to bed. It's less than 5 hours from that time to that time. So you are now trying to be somebody that you are for only 5 hours a day. And you're trying to turn off that person that you are for 13 hours a day. And you're trying to include somebody in your life in 5 hours that has not been a part of your life for the majority of your day. Amen. So it's hard to balance that, but it's possible to balance it if you are deliberate about it. If you're deliberate about it, it will change. If you're saying, I legitimately want to change this about myself to show my wife how important she is to me, then I'm going to change it. Todd and I were talking earlier before everybody got on about you have to say, is she worth it? And if she's worth it to you, then come hell or high water. You got to prepare to be in a marriage with her like you're preparing to play a baseball game. If you ain't practicing, you're not going to win.
Amen. Right, amen. Right. Amen.
I think for me, as I got older, I started hearing this saying that God loves the truth. And I took it and I ran with it. So if you ask me something, boom. And a lot of times if I felt something, I boom. And no one talked about the compassion and the empathy, that, you know, having respect for the other person. I just took God love the truth and I just ran with it. It almost gave me a license to say what I wanted. And I know that wasn't the case, but hey, God loves the truth. In my mind, this is the truth. So here it is. And so I struggled with that thing for a long, long, long time. Now I'm learning about empathy, timing, you know, even timing. My issue really has been timing. And we was at a marriage conference, and one of the questions, when they asked me about something that I was struggling with in my marriage, my voice causes issues because it makes me seem I'm upset or angry when I'm not. You know, I get penalized because of my voice. So it don't matter if I'm speaking the truth, the emphasis turns to my voice. And I'm really animated. I talk with my hands. But anyway, I just want to throw that God loves the truth thing out there. It jacked me up. I don't know about you guys, but it jacked me up because I don't know if it's scripture or not.
But Todd, I think when you're talking about your voice also goes along with your impressions. Your expressions. Mm-hmm. So me, you know, she talks about my lines in my face, which, you know, I'm an ugly guy. So you know, and then when you put a little frustration with it, I get uglier. You know what I'm saying? And with the military voice with it, I mean, you know, you got something on your hands at that particular time. But Glenn said something that was so important, man. I went 13 years before I got this wife, before I married this wife. 13 years. But now I'm in charge of a bunch of military guys where you got to be hoorah, 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 hoorah. You know, 13 years, 12 to 14 hours a day. With no woman in sight. And now, man, good God, every time I talk, I think I'm talking to some rough head. Well, you got to realize, man, you're not talking to a rough head when you're dealing with a woman. You're just not. You're just not talking to a rough head, so you have to scale it back. But the only way, Todd brought it up, and I wish he was listening right now, the only way to scale it back is through the Holy Spirit. It's through humbleness, through God. That's the only way. I'm speaking for myself now, because what I say for Jerome. I'm not speaking for everybody, because it may not work for everybody. But the closer I get to God, the deeper I get into the word, the more loving I become. And that's just the truth to it. Without God, I am a soldier to the bone. I mean, flat bone. But with God, I can scale it back. I can be more loving. I can be more humble. I put my pride aside. Mm-hmm. Not great at it, but I'm working on it. So
that's
all I want to add to that.
And I feel like,
go ahead.
I was about to say, Brother Jerome said, when you get close to God, you become more loving. And I know for me, every time I see online somebody giving a testimony or somebody telling something they've been through and they made it out, I start to get emotional every time. And I don't know why, but It's just, I see the proof of God through people when they tell their testimony. Mm-hmm. And I know, and I never used to be like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's funny. I mean, the Bible even says, "God, rejoice with those who rejoice and cry with those that cry." So, I mean, you're going to begin to feel what other people feel. That's the empathy that's coming along with what the woman is talking about. When you set yourself to change, it does become empathetic. You did begin to understand when somebody's coming out, especially when you're going through, that you celebrate with them because, you know, your time is coming. It's encouraging. Yeah. That's why it says we'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You know, and people can take things so many different ways. You can look a person in the eye, female in the eye, and say, "I love you." And she says, "Oh, I love you too." But then you can look in the eye, turn your head a certain way, put your voice in the right inflection, and go, "I love you." She knows that the meaning is different. And so, you know, and that is what we, you know, we have to practice as men. We're so used to being talking to other men that we come along so hard and so drastic that we have to touch our softer side so that she understands how important she is to us. I can't come and look her in the eye and say what I would say to Jerome, because it ain't gonna work. It might use the same words I'm saying to Jerome, but it ain't gonna come out the same way. And it shouldn't, because she is your softer side. And you have to be deliberate to touch it.
I tell you where it become rough though. Man, Lord knows, I know she's listening to this, and I'm gonna say it though. Here I go again. But it gets hard when you're trying to be the best that you can be, and you humble to the T, and it feels like they're trying to take advantage of that softness. You know? And it happens. Y'all know it happens. I mean, I'm not the only one talking about. I may be, but I'm being real. You know how real I am. But when I'm at my weakest stage, sometimes I feel like the individual I'm with taking another step and pushing those buttons. So I'm hoping I'm not the only guy dealing with that. But that what brings that monster out sometimes, when you're pushing and you say, "Well, you know what? We talked about this on Tuesday nights, and Jerome need to be a little bit more loving." And then my wife take an inch. Then she take two. Then she take three. Then the next thing you know, I'm holding back. But seem like the more I hold back, then that explosion, I'm going to say something stupid. Something stupid going to come out my mouth when I get into my emotions. I hope y'all can relate to what I'm saying. Right. When you feel
hurt, yeah, I'm with you.
When you feel hurt and you feel like, I'm sure you used the wrong word, but when you feel like somebody manipulating you in any kind of way, form, or fashion, you get upset. And then, you know, that other ego come out.
I'll leave it at that. Let me ask you a question, Drew. Can it be sometimes that you perceive it to be that they're taking an inch, taking a mile, because you're not comfortable yet with allowing somebody to see your vulnerability, allowing somebody to see the softer side?
Well, you know what? I am with her.
Oh, okay.
I agree with you. I'm not with you guys, but with the person that I've married, I am comfortable. She's seen the PTSD. She's seen the softer side. She's seen me break down. She's seen me wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. So that's not the issue when it comes to her. I am being honest with you. It's the issue of the respect of knowing my struggle and still pushing those buttons. That's the problem that I'm having to learn to balance. And I see Dirty Bird, but I must be saying something to get to Dirty Bird right now, because he keeps jumping up and down. But I ain't trying to do that. I'm just trying to be where Jerome at. And that's where my struggle at, Glenn, is that I know how hard I'm trying. I know the work that I'm putting in with God. Mm-hmm. If respect that. Respect that, you know, because I'm giving that. I'm giving you all I can and everything I can. So, but it causes me to fall back. And then I feel bad, and I'll come back and say, "Hey, baby, I'm sorry." You know, I get like Glenn, you know, he's a single guy, but he got it. And I'm not good at all that, you know, that mushy apologetic stuff. But I do it. You know, I do what's right when the time comes. But I'm just being honest with you. When you take advantage of me, when you hurt my feelings, man, I can't take that. I'm working on it, though.
I think that's important.
Glenn gets stupid, too. Don't get that twisted. Glenn get crazy, too.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead, sure.
Have you communicated that to her when you really don't?
Yeah, I would not communicate this to y'all if I wouldn't communicate it to her. I'm putting this out online right now. So yes, I've communicated this to her, because I would not do this if I hadn't talked to her about it. I got to be real with myself and make sure I talk to her about it before I'm able to put it out there like this, in this form. I gotta. Yes, I've talked to her about it.
Let me ask the women.
What her response is. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
What's been her response?
Well, I'm not gonna go there, but you know, that's a little deeper than I wanna go, so I'll leave that one alone. I'm gonna get in trouble if I go there.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Let me ask the women.
Very good question, though. Very good question.
Let me ask the women, because this is something I'm struggling with also. What has been the issue in respecting a man's walk with Christ in relationships? Because I want an answer to it, because it could help me. It could possibly help me if it's something that I'm doing to taint that in some manner.
Well, I ain't no woman, but I'm gonna tell you what mine told me, and I think she's right. When somebody live with you 24/7, they don't see the God in you all the time. So right. They have a problem sometime when you act out like I say I act out. But on Tuesday, and she see me reading the word, and on Tuesday, I sound like I'm a pretty decent guy. But my wife get to see the other side of me. And that's being real. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not always in my Christian form. I'm not always that man of God. And she lives with that guy. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes in her eyes, hey, you show you Christian? You right. Just flipped on me. Or you show you, you know, are you sure you taking in this word of God that you say you taking in? Those are the questions that I get. And at that particular time when she does that, she's right at that moment, because I do. You know, I'm like, hey, I have to go to God in prayer, and I have to go to God and ask for forgiveness. That's what's so beautiful about his word. I don't always get it right. You know, and I got to be man enough to admit when I don't get it right. And that's for all men listening to the sound of my voice. We got to, just because we're a Christian don't mean we get it right all the time. So right. When I don't get it right, I have to go to God and say, hey, God, you have to work with me on this. He's still working right. with me. And so when they say that to us, we have to check ourselves. We have to look in the mirror and say, okay, is something she's saying is valid? Is it valid? And in my case, can't speak for the rest of you guys, it's very valid.
Amen.
You are human.
Right.
Human being. And most that I know will walk in the flesh before they get close to God. I'll just put it like this. When you walk in the flesh, some people stay there. Some, when they get close to God, they change their ways. You are going to be human. You are going to make, I won't say necessarily say mistakes, but you will do certain things. Everybody's walk is different. So just because certain person is walking a certain way don't mean that this person, even though he's in the word, even though he's studying, even though he's preaching, don't mean that he's necessarily going to walk that same way. This is my opinion. So you have to remember, we all are human, and we all have our own, you know, experiences or mistakes, however you want to call it. And so take it with a grain of salt. You know, if you can deal with it, you deal with it. You can't, you let that person know, and then you know, go your merry way.
Good. I like that. So, Amy, what you got?
I think we need to remember that we're all human. And just like a man may have those times when he's not his best Christian self, we have those same moments, and we have to step back and just realize that this is a journey. It's not an easy task for anybody.
Right.
So try to be understanding that we're not always going to always hit the mark.
That's good. That's good. I like that. Sister Janine?
It's all about owning self and taking accountability for how we move and how we act and how we react. If you're having a bad day for whatever reason and you snap at somebody, the immediate response should be to apologize right then and there, because you know who you are. You live with yourself every day. The only other person that knows you just as well as you is God. So in specific journeys, I'm learning that, you know, everyone's tests are different, and God will put certain things in your way just to see how you're going to react. So it's all about, you know, owning that and knowing that this is what I usually do. I need to do something different because I'm tired of going through the same things over and over again. And as far as your significant other, your wife, your husband, whoever, if they know what you're trying to do as far as getting your walk right with God, then there should be some grace there. There should be some right, empathy yep. there. There should be some understanding there because you're having to recondition yourself from how you used to be to who you're trying to become.
Right.
So there has to be grace. God gives us grace every single day. He wakes us up. So we have to learn how to start extending that grace that God gives us, as well as extending that love that he expects us to have for the ones that we do love. We're not going to get it right every time. Get that, got that. But it's about owning yourself and taking responsibility and accountability for the stuff that you do versus someone having to point it out.
Right, right. I like that. I think for me, that's the frustrating part. You know, my spouse should be able to forgive me. We rocking together. So where's the forgiveness when I do have a moment? I'm putting the work in. You know, Jesus flipped the table over. If I apologize, then the forgiveness should come. But that's probably unreal expectations at times, especially immediately. But I mean, you shouldn't hold me getting upset or lashing out over my head for weeks when I'm putting the work in doing other things of, you know, considerable good things. You shouldn't hold that over my head for weeks because I lashed out in a moment. But I know it don't only takes a moment to taint all of our works.
You know, too, I mean, we want instant forgiveness for something that happened in a moment. But the unfortunate part is people don't forget.
Right. Right.
That's what delays forgiveness, because they still relive that in their head. Mm-hmm. Especially if it's something that's similar to a past experience they had. Because now they're not holding it against you, they're holding it against the other person that did it, and you just look like them.
Right.
So now some old wounds have been reopened, and now that person, you have to suffer for what somebody else did because their experience has been this. And if it was something that was violent, so now all of those emotions have not come back. It may take them a minute to get out of that mindset so they can offer you forgiveness. And, right. And the thing about it is, it ain't our job to get forgiveness. It's just our job to apologize.
Ooh. Oh, I like that.
But you can't keep apologizing, in my opinion, mm-hmm. about something and you know, not necessarily doing the same thing over and over, but it's so similar. And, you know, you ask for forgiveness and then you forgive and then you do it again and you ask for forgiveness and then forgive. You can't, to me, you can't just keep doing that.
No,
you
know, that's reputation.
Almost like crying wolf. You know, you just like, oh, I'm just going to do this because she's going to forgive me. If I do it this time, she's going to forgive me this time. You know, me, myself, I know I won't. Eventually, we're going to have a serious conversation about it. And, you know, we really have to come to an understanding because you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and asking for forgiveness.
That's reprobation. If you're going to be repeating the same thing, that's a reprobate mind. That's going back and doing things over and over again and because you can be forgiven. And that's not fair to the other person because you're exactly. now forcing them to keep reliving something that you are doing. That's intentionally inflicting harm in somebody else's life. Now, if it's something you legitimately done without intention, without malice, and it's done and you ask for forgiveness, yeah, you ask for forgiveness and then neither one of you can dwell on it. Yeah, it may take them a minute to get out of it, but you're gonna have to allow them that time and space to process it and get out of it. And if you bring it up again, why didn't you forgive me? Now we're right back where we started from. Right. And so we have to understand that forgiveness, as I said a moment ago, is not for you to give. It's only for you to do. Your only job is to repent and ask for forgiveness. Say, I'm sorry. It ain't your job to get it. Then you have to wait and it's time. Now God's forgiveness is instant. However, you still got to work out the process that you find yourself in when you ask for forgiveness.
I also think that there's a level of disappointment because from a female perspective, okay, you're thinking, okay, my man is changing. He's on this journey. And then we build up this level of expectations, which we probably shouldn't. And then when he doesn't meet that expectation, we then become frustrated or angry or not so forgiving.
Mm-hmm. What do you do with that, though? I mean, and when that incident happens and you build up an expectation, you have built an expectation.
Right.
He's trying to say, I'm changing the best I can. But if I don't meet your expectations and you're angry, for lack of a better word, how is it his fault? Because he fell short. He's always going to fall short. He's never going to reach perfection until he leaves here. But right. What we have to do, we have to engage, as Sister just said, we have to have a common understanding that you know, I expected us to be here and I was upset when you missed the mark. But how long do you hold that against me? As Todd says, how long before you allow me to try again? And that's how a lot of marriages fail. When the disappointment level hits such a low after such a high expectation and it falls to such a low, people don't find a way to have that conversation to get back to understanding that they're just human, that they're going to be mistakes on both sides. And we have to, if we're going to survive together in a relationship, understand that I'm not always going to meet your expectations and you're not always going to meet my expectations. And I cannot hold that against you.
I like that, Glenn. That's good. That's good. Do we talk about the expectations though? What are expectations unannounced? If you have expectations of me and I don't know about the expectations, am I really failing if I don't meet the mark?
No.
Or how committed are we? How committed are we if we haven't shared our expectations of each other?
There can't be any.
Go ahead, Amy.
If you haven't had those conversations, that's
right.
What the foundation of the relationship should be about, expressing what you expect from yourself in the relationship, as well as what you expect from someone, from the other person. And there has to be some common ground to get to the foundation, to then build upon that foundation.
Right, you know, right.
And that's it. What is the foundation? Now, we talked last week about how we're perceived as little boys, what manhood looked like. And we, you know, we came to the understanding because all of us had similar experiences that we were taught as little boys to conquer. The more the merrier, the more you have, the more of a man you were. Little girls were taught from playing with dolls and being read and reading romance novels, how to be wise, how to be monogamous, how to be in one relationship. Okay, Amy, explain that, because that's a hard look on your face right there.
It is.
Because, you know,
she's saying he ain't been taught that.
Well, I didn't have that image of the fairy tale, being the fairy tale, you know, the wedding, and I didn't have that. So that's why I made the face. And I'm so sorry. My face speaks loudly. I'm sorry. Maybe I should put my lips.
It screamed that time.
but I want to make a comment, and I want to thank Amy for that. Because so often we give women a pass for we think that they've been taught a certain way and men have not. And that's not always the case. Man, Lord, forgive me. I've had the opportunity. I've been with some hellacious women in my day. I really have that's, you know, I'm not saying I don't know nothing about Amy, but what I'm saying is you can tell that they haven't been taught those values that Brother Glenn just talked about, because they'll do just what we do. Some women will do just like men. They'll go and seek and destroy just like men would do. So I just don't think women deserve a pass on that one, because it goes both ways depending on the individual. It's an individual.
Now let me be clear. I wasn't hellacious, okay? I was more of a tomboy. Oh. I was more of a tomboy. I like being outside. You know, I like playing sports. So the fairy tale of, oh, I want a husband and we're going to have kids and, you know, the white picket fence, that never was on my radar. But I did grow up with a wonderful father, uncles, grandparents, grandfathers, who took very good care of us and showed me how I should be treated, you know, in a relationship. So I just when Glenn said that the girls are taught to, what did you say?
Play with dolls. They're taught how to be wise as little girls. Now, that's for you. Mostly when I did my paper, that was my understanding, what I came with. However, you ladies are on here. How many of you were taught, what were you taught about marriage? What were you taught the expectation of marriage was supposed to be? What were you taught, and how did it look like it when you were, if you were ever married, to the marriage you had?
I was taught.
Good question, man. I like that.
I was taught to cook, clean, take care of the house. Mm-hmm. And from what I saw growing up, my dad took care of us financially. My mom had a job out of the house. And my dad worked hard. He still works hard. And everything outside, my dad took care of that. Everything inside, my mom took care of that. And when I got married, I've been married twice. I did what I thought I should have been doing, you know, cooking, cleaning, and all of that. But because I'm a tomboy, it was hard for me to not want to wash the cars or make sure the oil is changed in the car or cut the grass. Or I grew up on a farm, and I enjoyed being with my dad. And so my ex-husbands, which, mind you, are very, very wonderful men, they didn't have that upbringing. They didn't have that. They weren't anything like my father. So that's where the clash came. The upbringing was very different.
Other ladies?
My upbringing, I guess, is similar to hers. I cook, I clean, I do all of that. But I had the benefit of learning that from my mother, but then I also had the benefit of learning how to take care of myself from my father. So I guess my view of it is a non-traditional kind of view. I can get out here and do it myself. Like, I appreciate your help, but I don't need your help. Like, you're a want at this point and not a need. So I feel like if we both want each other, then the marriage will be that much more successful, because it's not a specific burden put on one person or the other person. We should be able to figure out what our foundation looks like together, and we go from there and get out of a traditional way of thinking, because what may work for you may not work for me. And what works for us as a married couple may not work for them as a married couple. I don't mind doing more than my fair share. I enjoy cooking. I enjoy taking care of the house. I enjoy all of that. But I would need to be matched with someone who isn't threatened with the fact that I don't need you, but I want you.
Oh, that's powerful.
That's, right there. That's strong there now.
That's very powerful.
You have something on that, Sister Janice?
Well, my upbringing was a little bit different. Mine was more so with my parents. I grew up with my mom and my stepdad, and it was more of a partnership. My stepdad did a lot. And it could have been because my mom was a nurse and she worked at night, but he did do a lot. He did a lot around the house. He cooked, he cleaned, he would wash the cars, he would cut the grass, he would do all that. Now, my mom, she would cook, clean, she didn't cut the grass. She go to the grocery store, she coming home, she ain't putting nothing up. You got to put it up, you know, so those type of things. But, you know, I kind of agree with both the women's assessment. I mean, I too am somewhat of a tomboy, you know. Growing up, most of my neighbors, my cousins that I grew up with and my neighbors, they were all boys. So, of course, I did what they did. You know, we running down the street, we jumping in the trees, you know, we in tires, we doing all of the stickball, all of that stuff, you know, riding horses and whatever, whatever. So I kind of grew up with that. And so I don't have a problem with, you know, being out in the yard. Matter of fact, I think I would prefer to be out in the yard than to be going to the grocery store or doing, you know, hey, you want to do the laundry? Oh, yeah, I cut the yard, no problem. You want to do the laundry? I wash the car. You know, you want to, I go to the grocery store. You want to put the food up? Pretty much, it's kind of like what I do now with my son. I go to the grocery store. He comes, you know, I bring it in. He puts the groceries up. So I think you know, it's kind of what you and your partner, you know, communication is a big key for me. So if you're not communicating with your partner and trying to explain, you know, some of the things that you want, some of the things you like, and you're hearing, you know, from their side as well, then it's not going to work. So you got to be able to communicate. You got to be able to put it all on the line and say, this is how I think that we can elevate and we can, this will take us to the next level. You can't do that. No matter what you say or do, no matter what your upbringing, it ain't gonna work, period.
Right. You gotta. Well, let me ask, I don't heard that question that Glenn posed, asked many, many times. And the response to it is never, I was taught about intimacy in terms of in terms of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard it ever. And I just think it's such a vital part of marriage. But it almost seems as if we shy away from the conversations, which probably is a tough conversation. I don't know when you start having that with your kids, but when if you started talking about raising and grooming your kids for marriage, we have to start with talking about intimacy.
I don't think it's ever too young to start talking to them about it. I think,
right.
First of all, you know, kids gonna learn by your actions. So if they're seeing their parents,
right,
showing this overly affectionated, you know, love toward each other, and you know, the little small words of appreciation and affection or whatever, they see this,
right?
You know, then of course they, you know, like my mom used to call my dad sweet poo, or you know, it was all dad, you know, so they get used to that, and then they, you know, once you do have that conversation with them, you know, it's a little bit easier for you, and you know, they'll be able to relate a little bit more. So I don't think it's ever too trying to bring that into the play.
Right.
Question though, Todd. Do you think we get the proper definition of intimacy?
Well, intimacy we have to first understand what it is. And it's different when most people hear intimacy, they think sexual or physical. Mm-hmm. But it's emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It's different levels to intimacy that when you're talking about marriage. If you take intimacy out of it, you have probably not much left. And so when Glenn posed that question, it just popped in my head that, they was little girls, they played with dolls and all that. And then you might go years and no one is pouring into you about what it takes to be a wife. And next thing you know, you're watching Desperate Housewives of Atlanta, trying to figure it out, or watching your aunties or your mom have bad marriages and trying to piece it together, all your uncles or your dads, or you know, your big brother, someone you respect, and no one is talking about intimacy. And so we trying to figure it out. And more times than not, it's gonna fail, because without proper understanding of intimacy, it's gonna fail, Jeremy.
I don't mean no disrespect when I say this, but it's kind of hard for these young kids to learn intimacy. Because back in the day, kids, like I say, my age or older, we used to have to try to sneak and go look at Playboys and stuff like that. I'm just talking now. I'm just saying. But now they can just go to an app in their phone and get to anything. They can get to anything.
Mm-hmm.
In their
right.
Phone. It's just, I don't know.
That is big. That's big.
That word intimacy is, I'm not going to say it's not there for them, but it's fading. Because they see so much different stuff on social media.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely.
Donovan, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was getting ready to say the same thing. And the way that my wife and I try to combat that is, just like Janice said, we try to do it through visual learning. So me and my wife are affectionate, you know, hugging, kissing, laying on each other and stuff in front of our kids. Once a month, I take the girls on a date and show them how they should be treated. And my wife takes my son on a date and shows him how, you know, he should treat a woman and how the woman should treat him. And anytime I do Valentine's Day, anniversary, birthday, whatever, my son's right there with me. So he can see the behind the scenes of what I'm doing and how I'm treating his mama and preparing her for that. So
that's
just how we try to combat it. Because like you said, Jonathan, it's at your fingertips now. It's so easy for them to hide and get into stuff that they don't have no business seeing. And to Josh, that's the only way I feel that we can combat that is through what we're showing.
Let me ask a question. Y'all bring up a powerful point about social media. Do you think social media is effective in a large decline of intimacy and relationship power?
No doubt.
Is it detrimental?
No doubt.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I was talking to my mom the other day, and I told her, if social media was around 50 or 60 years ago, will we still have all these grandparents together? Big mamas and everybody still together back then?
I don't think
so.
No.
I think it set unreal expectations. It's all filters, and it's all a stage or a painted picture, and you're not getting the real of a relationship, like the struggle, exactly, the grind, and mm-hmm, everything. It's just all the highlights on social media, and it just sets too high expectations.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask a deep question tonight, and one of the ladies said it, but I don't want to avoid it, and I don't want to be nitpicky because it's not against her. That's just how she feels. But I want to ask all the men. I want to ask all the men tonight, how do you feel when we hear what the lady said earlier, that I want a man, but I don't need you?
He won. Amen. I want that. I heard
that. That's to me, since we're talking biblical, we're going, you know how I am. We want to go godly. Does that go against the grain when a man hear a woman say, I want you, but don't need you? men, in essence, they want to feel that their woman need them. So when you say that to a man, you basically kill the essence of who he is to a certain degree, because he wants to feel that you need him, because his God made us to protect and nurture and look out for the woman. So when a woman say that to a man, I think that it does something to that man when you say that to him. I just want to see how the other guys feel about it, because she ain't the first person I've heard say that. I've heard that said a lot.
I can respond to that, and I can answer that once the gentleman answer, but no, I'll be patient.
No, go first. Go ahead. You go ahead.
We talk about a biblical standard of what a man should be, but men today aren't holding up to that biblical standard. We talk about loving someone unconditionally, but in reality, we put conditions on everything that we do. So why am I going to allow half of a man to come in and throw the Bible in my face as it suits him, but then not live true to the word of God? The word says that a man should love his wife as Christ loved the church. Sure. And we know how Christ feels about the church. So why do I have to look at you and expect you to protect me? And you're looking back at me like, I don't have time today, baby. I got this to do. I got that to do. As long as my physical being is here, that should be good enough for you. And then I'm supposed to be okay, and I'm supposed to be satisfied with that. Me wanting you is me making a conscious effort to make sure you feel like you're the king in my life every single day. I don't need you to go outside my house looking for anything else, because everything that you want right here, I'm giving it to you because I want you. We get complacent with needs. It's almost like you become stagnant. Me wanting you means that I'm doing everything in my power to keep the spice alive. I'm doing everything in my power to make sure you're fed. If I have to bathe you after a long day of work because I want you, I'm going to do that for you, because you smiling means everything to me because I want you. I'm walking out the door and I'm representing you because I want you. I'm making sure that every need that you have is met because I want you. When I need you, I'm doing desperate things to keep you around. When I want you, I'm fulfilling every possible need that you have because you're mine. I want you in my life,
hey girl,
for the rest of my life. So that's the difference between a want and a need. Want will never get old. Need means you're going to start getting on my nerves, and now I'm going to have to start thinking about something different. So that's my definition, in my opinion, of a want versus a need, because a want will get you got every single time.
Whew.
Anita, have you
that sound like a home run right
trying
now.
To figure out how to you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm a fall back. That's just my definition of a
one. Y'all see me getting some ice, cool off.
Yeah, I know. I got nothing.
Hey guys, whew, I love that. I love it. Go ahead, sis.
I'm asking this question, sister question. How does that what you just said is powerful? And thank God, that's a beautiful definition. However, how does an independent mindset that I don't need you and it don't make no difference if you're here or not reflect that? Because that would actually be in contradiction to what you just said.
It sure is.
So we're supposed to humble ourselves. A woman, we as women have to understand that being humble to a man is a very strong thing. It's not a weak thing at all. So because I'm an independent person and I'm an independent mindset, I'm going to be independent to everybody else except for the man that's in my house with me. I'm humbling myself to him and him only. Nobody else will get what he gets because he's mine. This is him and I. So I have to be independent when I walk out of my house, because if I'm not independent when I walk out of my house, that means anybody can take advantage of me. However, my strength, when I cross my threshold and lock my door, my strength falls to him.
Oh, come on now.
Because he only gets that part. Nobody else gets that part of me. Only he gets that part of me. So I'm independent every place else. But when I come home, it's me and him all day long. Baby, what you need? Baby, what you want? You need some salt for your meal? You need something to drink? You need some more ice? You need me to rub your feet while you eating? You want me to run your bath water? You want me to turn the shower on? But when I walk out that door and I'm representing my family, it's okay, we got to get this done. We got to get this done. We got to get this done. But because I'm so strong outside of my door, I expect to come home and be humbled to the man that I'm with.
That's
what
I'm
saying. Did I answer your question? I'm
sorry. Yes, ma'am. Very much so. Okay. Thank you. Can you please write a book? Because I need a copy. But it's powerful. I mean, this conversation we're having amongst each other, men and women having this conversation. These conversations don't happen. We don't know how you all think. So we're trying to figure it out and we're riding blind down a dark road full of trees. And we're trying to get it right, especially coming from the mentality we have. These guys on this call, we're all ex-athletes, high-level athletes, we're managers, we go hard in everything we do. So having to have a softer mindset has been hard for us to establish. So when we don't know and we're not having this conversation with you all, like you all are giving us now, it's kind of hard for us to navigate because we only go off what we know. We don't know that, you know, because you were raised a tomboy, your expectations ain't like the little girl that was raised with dogs. Even though you have the same thought process about marriage and taking care of a home on the inside, and his job is the outside and he's the financial winner, they're similar, but they're not the same thoughts. And so when we're trying to figure it out, as most of us are on this call trying to figure it out, we run into trees because we don't know. And a lot of times we get penalized for not knowing. And that's what we're trying to combat with the conversations we're having, is that help us figure it out. Because in helping us figure it out, we become better men, not only for you, but for our community and the places that we serve. And so it's important that we have these conversations.
So for men, you all need to be needed. You
Amen.
Because
Amen.
You're fixers. You don't want to hear all the little details. Give me what I need to know so I can go and fix this issue.
Fix it. That's right.
That's how men operate. Well, when you're dealing with a woman who is independent and is capable of handling her own, I agree with the sister, you know, we want you. Like, need takes on a different meaning.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need you to pay all the bills. We're paying our bills. We don't need you to, you know, bring us stress and or strife. We're at peace where we are. You know, what we need you to do is to protect us, be kind to us, be loyal to us, be gentle with us, teach us, open up to us, let us be your teammate. My mindset is, and I'm very careful to not say what sister said, because I know how men receive that, because all of y'all faces went, you know. But I know what she meant. I know what she meant. And most independent women do feel that way. We're perfectly fine. If we're paying all of our bills, we got a roof over our heads, we're taking care of our vehicles, we're taking care of our children, we already in our minds know how to provide for ourselves. We don't want to come to you. Like, I don't think y'all really want us to need you. Not in the sense that we
need. Yeah, explain that.
Let me ask you about that hammer.
We don't want to work. We want you to go out and work like a slave, pay all the bills, take care of the children because they're working on our nerves. That's a lot for any human being to hold. That's too much. That's why we were designed to be the helpmate. I want to be a teammate. I don't want my man, wherever he is, out there to be out in the world struggling and fighting and against the world. You're Black and the world already hates you. You know, let me help you. Let me lighten that burden. Use what I have to get you further in life. It's not to say that we don't need you. I think it's a play on words that we're fighting about, you know, and I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about, you know, in general, when men, right. When women say, I want you, I don't need you. Because to me, if I say I want you and I really don't need you, that means I really, really, really want you.
Right. So what about the hammer? Back the independent part that you can cut your grass. You can use a hammer and a screwdriver. You can fix stuff. I've had independent women. That's kind of what I've dated. I think the issue is that they've struggled with turning it off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Mm-hmm. You can't sit there with the hammer while I'm in here. I'm not built like that. And out of respect, give me the hammer. Like, it shouldn't be a fight. You're not going to go out there 99 degrees and cutting grass in the front yard while I'm here. It's just not conducive. It's just not good. And we shouldn't fight about, yeah, you can do it. But why would you choose to do it if I'm here as a man and I want to do it and I'm here? I've been doing it or I'm going to do it. Like, I think that's been the issue. The struggle to turn that I've always done it and I can do it and I don't need you. Well, I don't need to be told I'm not wanted or needed, but maybe once or twice, and then I'm gonna start looking elsewhere, because yeah. As a man, I need both of those. I need to be wanted and needed. If not, it's just time to start looking elsewhere.
What are you
elsewhere.
There for? Yeah, what are you there?
You know, I'm glad he said that, because right. I was right. waiting on one of you guys to come and make a comment on that. And there is what, three men on here that I don't think that have said anything about that. I would love to hear your comments about what she said about not, you know, being needed or wanted. And I know you know who I'm talking about, because you haven't said anything. Don't be shy.
I've never been married. I'm a single man, but I would want to feel wanted and maybe needed at certain times. Like, I mean, I completely get what she was saying. I get what she was saying, but sometimes I might want to feel like, not like, oh, I'm on money, I need you right now. But like, I don't know how to fully say it, but like, I feel like I want to more wanted, but there has to be a lot of need. It don't have to be a lot of being needed.
You know, man, as far as being an independent woman is concerned, you might, like I said, you might can cut the grass and can hammer a nail and can turn a wrench or a screwdriver and whatnot, but you know, you're not going to make me look bad. I'm not going to be in the house while you're outside cutting the grass. That ain't going to happen.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm not going to be in the bedroom watching TV while you're in the living room putting up a ceiling fan. That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Now, we can do it together. But you may be independent all you want to, but I'm not going to sit back. That don't make a man look good at all. I'm not, you know, that's just not going. I've been married 3 weeks, will be 22 years and whatnot. And my wife has said the same thing like what you ladies have said, because she was taught at a young age, a daddy told her, she was out there checking oil and all of that type of stuff. And said she don't need no man for all of that type of stuff. And all of that type of stuff. But that, but who does she ask to go out there and check the oil when it needs to be checked and all of that? I go do all of that type of stuff. I'm not going to have my woman to do that. I'm not going to sit in the car while you pumping the gas. We might be used to doing that. But now that I'm your man, I'm pumping the gas now. I mean, that's just how it is. Well, I'm going to sit in the car while you pump the gas. I mean, come on, man. That's not going to fly. Because I love you. You're my queen, and I'm going to treat you like that. And as far as biblically speaking, as a man of God, like the word said, husbands, love your wife. Like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ died for the church. I love you so much, I got to die for you. You my queen. It says, husbands, don't be bitter towards your wife. And I do it the words. If the words say that, that's what I'm going to do, because I don't want my prayers to be hindered. So you can pray for me, but I'm not taking advantage of nobody. If the word says, don't be bitter to your wife, I'm not going to be bitter to my wife. I've been married for 22 years coming up. And if she was here, she's out working right now. If that was the case, she'll tell you that. I didn't have a good example coming up. My dad passed away a couple of years. Valentine's Day anniversary. Anniversary was just another day in his house. They never went nowhere. I never saw no balloons in here. I never saw my wife kiss my mother. And my mother even told me one time when I was a little boy, whatever you do, don't be like your dad. So that motivated me to be just the opposite. I had to learn on the fly. I didn't get no marriage counseling or none of that. It was some rough sledding for a while. But I made sure, just like what John said, just like what Brother Josh said, my children see the balloons here on Valentine's Day. They see me and my wife going out on birthdays and just other days, just because. I'm teaching my 16-year-old son now, when you go in the store, son, if you see a woman behind you, hold the door open. Don't let that woman get the door by herself. Hold the door open for her. Be a gentleman and whatnot. And I got to teach, and we have to teach. It starts at the home. We talk about intimacy. That's where it starts at. Just like what Brother Josh was saying, he say his son see that what he do, that's what we have to do. We have to teach our young men, teach our daughters how to love a woman. My son, my daughter, my son, they've never seen me cuss my wife out, none of that type of foolishness. She never had to wear no shades because she got hit. I've never hit my wife in 20 some years and not go hit it in no time soon, and I go do it. Because why? Because my mother said, don't be like your daddy. And them words always rung in my ears to be just the total opposite of that. So I always do the best that I can to set an example, especially as a man of God. I have to do what the word says. If I don't do nothing else, I have to do what the word say do. Love my wife. Treat her like a queen. And that's what I do. And whenever you're going to be independent all day long, but if I'm in the house, you ain't going to be doing all that stuff unless you want to be me and my wife put together. But I'm not going to be sitting in the room while you're doing all that work. That's just the bottom line. Because that's how I was raised up to be like that. Help your woman out. Don't have her doing all that stuff. I mean, come on now. Now, you want to do it together? Let's work together. You want to put up the ceiling fan together? Let's do so and whatnot. My wife still like, I have to tell her the difference between a flathead and a Phillips and whatnot. And that's what we do. We help. We teach out. I'm not going to say you should have known that. Remember, you all independent. No, ain't none of that. I said, baby, you got to use a Phillips for this. You got to use a flathead for that right there if you want to change something up. So whatever the case may be. But that's all. I didn't say my piece, but like I said, we got to teach our youngsters how to treat women. And we have to do what the word says concerning our wives and our
husbands. I appreciate the sister wanting to hear my voice, so thank you for that.
nice voice.
Yes, yes. I was raised with a pretty good family. I love my mother and father, and they raised me right, you know, how to treat a woman and how to take care. My father was a great example. Love him to death. So I have no problem with that. The problem I have is I didn't get married until I was in my late 40s. September be 11 years I've been married. I asked, and I think I told this last week, I asked the Lord for my wife, and he gave it to me. Now, I have no choice as a man of God, because I got married as I'm saved, is to treat this lady, my wife, whom I love, like the Lord said I should. Now, it's not always easy. And like Brother Jerome said, man, them nerves, and you want to shake some sometimes. All that is true. That's true. That's part of life. But the God in me won't allow me to do that. As Brother Randy said, I've never hit a woman in my life. Never shook a woman in my life. And that's not everybody, and everybody can't live that way, but that's me. And like I said, I go by the Bible. It said, treat her as Christ treat the church. If Christ loved me, I have to love her the same way. And we can't sugarcoat it. We can't make it like it can't happen. It has to happen. If you believe one word in the Bible, then you got to believe them all. They're all true. And he said, treat her like I treat the church. And you know how much he loved the church. He died for it, as Elder Radden was saying. He died for it. So all of us, we're talking about the ceiling fan. Man, I ain't thinking about that ceiling fan. We'll get somebody to put it up. We'll get somebody to put it up. We'll get somebody to fix it. I wash dishes. I clean. Because I was raised that way. Been in the military. Hey, we know about independence. But when you become husband and wife, you become one. And it's hard to separate one. It's hard, hard. When you can do it, let me know. And when you become one, you have to. You almost think alike. You put everything together. And there's no me and her. It's us.
Amen.
As the sister was saying, when she stepped out the house, she represents her family. When you step out the house, you represent your family. Everything you do, somebody know you married, you represent your family. So you have to always keep that in mind. I got my queen at the house. I got my king at the house. No matter what's going on here, I got mine at the house. We have to think, and that's just the bottom line. We're Christ's children to be example to the world. Even through social media, we still have to set. I heard you, Brother Jonathan, and I know it's a hard fight, but we still have to set the example. I mean, we're not going to reach them all, but we have to reach what we can. And we have to say, yeah, we have to say what we mean and mean what we say. Mm-hmm. And it has to be about Christ. Christ got to be everything in your life. Everything. You can't give him part of it and think your life going to be all right. You got to give him everything. That's you, your wife, your children, your house, your car. You got to give him everything. And let him lead your way. God bless you.
And another thing, I don't know when the last time my wife ate breakfast in the kitchen. You know why? Because she always getting breakfast in bed. I get up and I cook it and I bring it to her in that bedroom and whatnot. Even while she's still sleeping, I will wake up and I tease all the time and say, you spoiled rotten. I know a lot of women don't get breakfast in bed. And sometimes you get lunch in bed as well. But that's just what I do. It don't bother me. Like LL Cool J said, I'm that type of guy. That's just what I do.
Hey, L. Go ahead, LL. Go ahead, like L.
It. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. It is love who rats.
Oh, man. It's awesome, man. I mean, this conversation has been so informative. Go ahead, brother.
I got something to say, because I need to respond, because I know Sister Janice has got a couple of sisters on here that I invited, Terry and Janine. I'm going to be real with you. When Janine said that word about that she don't need a man or what in that aspect. For me, I'm just being real. When it came up, it just hit me chest first. But this is what I want to say, because it's important. And I hear everybody talking. The main thing in a relationship we talked before is not what you say, it's how you say it. But when you do that, I think with men, we have to ask the question, why did you say, and what did you mean behind it? Because we can think one way, we can think, well, gee, she just, like, she don't really need it. But then it has to be why somebody would say, I know I have been around with it because my sister like that. And so when she said it at first, it hit me, but here, we have to sit down and have communicated why you do that. But then I can get an understanding of where she's from, and then she can get where I'm coming from. And I understand where the odor's coming from. I understand where Jerome is coming from. But sometimes when those things said that needs to be communicated. And we have to get an understanding of it. So once you get the understanding explanation, we have to come to an agreement. And just like saying, I want a man to be a man, right?
Right.
Allow a woman to be a woman. But then you have side of it, and what our Christ is about it. And even we have mentioned before, and it, those things, that, you know, because, you know, and those things be communicated. I'm just saying that I felt about it. Yeah, strong word, but it has to be me. It has to be communicated. But I can get an understanding. That person understands where I'm from, and I understand. I hope that makes sense.
It did.
Amen.
It did.
Amen.
So we can set up all, but there's got to be we got to disagree to agree to be agreed.
Absolutely.
But it's got to be done. It has to be done.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know from a relationship standpoint, and I'm talking for me personally, without both.
Right.
I'm not sure if I can give that relationship anywhere near 100% of my all without both.
It got to be both.
Because needing me shouldn't minimize her.
Right, correct.
Needing me shouldn't minimize her.
Right.
And so if I can't feel like I'm needed, it's impossible for me to invest 100% of me.
I think
it's a place that I'm not needed or wanted. Mm-hmm. One or the other. I think I have to have both. That just me.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I like what she said when she gave her definition and explained what her difference was. That was a lot of clarity. That was a lot of clarity to me, and the fact that she said, she's like, I want you to understand, me wanting you puts me in a place of vulnerability, that where now vulnerability may win out, because me wanting you will allow you to treat me any kind of way. And I'm not going to say that. But me needing you puts me in a place of vulnerability. But me wanting you is me allowing you space in my life.
Right.
Relationship. And then I'm going to treat you as such until you deviate from what I'm allowing you to treat me like.
Right, correct.
And so in that kind of situation, you are wanted and you are needed, because when you're a king of your castle, it's something broke, and you know your wife has the capabilities, or your woman has the capabilities to fix it, but she knows that she deviated that responsibility to you because she wants you there. That is being wanted and needed. But if she is, but if she's needing you, she's saying, I'm allowing you to play off my weakness. And if you're playing off my weakness, now you have a hold over me. And then that goes against what Dakota just said. Now, because of the fact is that he said, I have to treat my wife as Christ above the church. I'm going to give myself for it. So that means that I also have to learn to put my ego aside.
There you go.
Right. So that she sees the importance that she has in my life. If I'm always going to lord it over, I have so many times I've heard men say, well, the woman's supposed to be obedient unto me. But the Bible says she's supposed to, but how that thing say? I want to use the right word. Sacrifice unto me.
Right.
And that's what sacrifice unto her as unto the Lord.
Submit.
You also got to keep reading, and you must love your wife for the church gave himself for it. If you ain't willing to die for her, how can you lord over her responsibility serving you?
Amen.
And so, you know, and so I get it. I know what you're saying, that I need to be on it and need it. But if that she showed us the definition that she gave, both kind of fit, because I know that I want it, because hey, at the end of the day, I'm gonna get my foot rubbed while I'm eating meal and salt.
I know that's
but that person of that fire alarm, I need to go fix that, because that's something that's broken in my house, and she needs me to take care of that, so that I can continue to get from her what she is providing by showing me how much she wants me in my house. So my want and my need, I have a purpose. It's something for me to do there. And and in my doing that, I fulfill that desire to be needed. But at the same time, her
being the woman that she's being taught me shows me that I can also want.
Does right.
That make sense?
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Terry. Amen. I mean, you know, I don't need a woman to cook for me. I can cook and I can clean and I can wash dishes. I don't need a woman for that, but I need you. Even the Bible says two are better than one.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I need you now. I mean, like, far as that's concerned, you might don't need me for nothing like that, but yeah, you do need me. We need each other. That's it. Yeah. Two are better than one, and we go love each other, and we go grow together. And that's all. I mean, like I said, that independent mindset, once you get a man or a woman, that independent message out the window. You can't be talking about, I don't need somebody no more once you get together. And my wife last said, like I said, her daddy told her that you don't need a man for all this, but you're married now. I don't need to be hearing that talking about you don't need somebody. What you get married for then?
So I got a question.
No,
so
right.
what if you're doing all of that, and this is no shade to anybody, but if you're doing all that and you're showing this man that you want him by doing these things for him, feeling need for that man, in my opinion, he's still gonna stray. Because you might be showing him that you want him, but it may not be the one wants, so he's still on strike. What do you think?
I think a lot of it goes to, as Jerome says it all the time, you got to look at you first. He says it, I can only talk about me. And so that being said, you got to look at your ability. If you are not strong enough to commit, you don't need to be in a commitment.
Right.
Exactly. You need to acknowledge that.
Amen.
You need to acknowledge that. If we cannot come to an agreement to be in a committed relationship with each other and just the two of us, and we're going to do this thing together, then you have to be open with that and within yourself, you know, and that is something that people have to do. A lot of people are in relationships for the wrong reason, because they need to have somebody in their life. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that Sister just said. When I need you, I'm going to neglect you. And so when you may be doing everything on your part right, but you can't speak to the other person because their mentality might not be on the same level as yours. That's why, as we talk about the Bible, two can't walk together unless they be agreed.
Amen.
I can't go that way unless me and you have come to an understanding. That's where we go.
Right.
Because we might start off hand in hand, but you might take a half an inch one way, I may take a half an inch, and before we get a mile down the road, we just far apart.
Right.
You have to be deliberate to have that conversation. If you aren't deliberate in that conversation to be open about it, beginning and within, to the end of the relationship, somewhere there's going to be a breakdown. And to be honest with you, some of us, male and female, as Jerome said, some women have the same mentality as the dude these days, are just dogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's no other way to put it. Some people just are not going to change. They don't want any better because they're right. Happy being right where they are. And unfortunately, good people end up with them, male and female, and it makes it worse for the person that comes after them, because you got to peel back all the levels of that relationship that person just got up, so you can establish a relationship with the person you're trying to have a relationship with. And so you got to fight with, is he cheating? Is she cheating?
Right.
Until y'all come to an understanding that it's going to be what it's going to be, but it's going to be what it's going to be together.
Right.
I said it a million times. Don't know if God's ever put in this plan for me to be married again. However, if I do get married again, there will be no such thing as divorce. You may hate me on the other side of the bed, but I ain't sleeping on no couch, and I ain't going nowhere.
I know that's right. Couch is uncomfortable. I ain't sleeping there.
And I don't like them.
Oh, man. Well, it's 9:30, man. It's been really good. Before we get ready to do these shout-outs and takeaways, man, I just want to, for the people who's listening, I just want us to, you know, be mindful. I'm not sure which is most detrimental in relationships in terms of, like, headed towards marriage. And it's, I know we got a lot of men that's not what we should be, but the independent women syndrome, to me, it's just my personal opinion, is equally detrimental. I just want to warn people that it doesn't matter what you make financially, where you're at economically, no one has it all together. No one. Oh, no one under the sun is in a position, because I got a lot of female friends, a lot of cousins, just, I hear it all the time. I don't need you, dude. Please stop telling you. I never hear a guy say, hey, man, I'm good. I don't need nobody.
I know that's right.
Yeah, I hear a lot of women say, I don't need nobody, I don't look good, but just it's a trap. Be mindful of it because it's somewhere in your life, some area of your life that you're going to need someone. So I just want to put that out there before we go. Yeah. Great night. Just get these takeaways, man. I really don't want to go, but I got to go. Sister Terry, give me some takeaways from the night. Any thoughts?
Well, I mean, it was awesome. Like, one of the things that I want to say in defense of Janine is, I think what she was saying is, she comes whole when she comes to a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not that she doesn't need a man. It's that she's in a position that she's okay without a man, you know? And I think that's what she was really trying to articulate. And I mean, she did it very well. Let's say that. Mm-hmm. But I just think that tonight was really awesome because it just shows that the difference between men and women, you guys, you want us to need you, you know? And so maybe we can take that with us. And we can pretend to be a little bit more needy.
Yeah, pretend.
Right. Make it till you make it.
That's right.
You do that.
But you know what? With that being said, I think you should be happy when you find a woman that's whole, you know, that's healed and whole and is okay with being with herself. Because if she's okay with being with herself, then she's going to be the kind of person you want in your life.
Amen. Good job. Sister Janine, let me say.
That's my girl,
That was an excellent explanation of that. Honestly, I received it. I know a lot of women, and I'm sure the other guys on here agree, they use it so loosely, and I'm sure that they don't have the concept of it the way that you explained it. You nailed the explanation to me. So give me some takeaways.
First, let me say that I'm grown. So when I speak, I'm speaking from personal experience and how I live. One of the things that I'm taking away definitely is that we need to listen to a person completely.
Right.
Because if we start listening and we get offended by one thing that said, we miss an entire point.
Right.
We are definitely human and we are definitely, you know, imperfect. But the beautiful thing about being imperfect is that as long as you don't take yourself too seriously, you can take it, learn from it, and then make it better. Right. I'm a girly girl. God made me for relationships. But God didn't make me the relationship. And I don't even know if y'all understand that. But get the fact that when you're coming into a situation, you have to know who you are. And they have to know who they are. They always say two halves make a whole, but that's so wrong. In a relationship, two wholes make it better.
Right.
So I know who I am, even though, you know, the way that I may have said it may have rubbed some of you all the wrong way, but to be loved by me, honestly, is to be loved by God. So I appreciate the conversation,
yes, sir.
But these are conversations that definitely need to be had because we can't be effective in any type of situation if we don't listen to a complete understanding and know who we are, know whose we are, so that we can function in this world together. Thank you for the invite. I definitely appreciate it.
Oh man, you're welcome. Definitely, man. That you brought so much energy and a different insight that we really needed to hear also. So thank you. Sister Amy.
Thank you all so very much for an amazing night. This was really good. What I think we need more of is communication. We talk at one another. We use these cliches. Social media, everything is just so quick, so fast, and you hear something and then you start to think, well, everybody is that way. You know, what Janine said made complete sense to me. Mm-hmm. And then I also understand from a man's perspective how men feel when they hear, I want a man, I don't need a man. Because they're so used to hearing it from that independent woman who's talking about how much money she makes, how she does this, how she's, well, we're not all that way. And so we need to understand that not all men are one way, just like not all women are one way. And right. And it's going to take a lot of communicating. And so we need to put the cell phones down and the computers down and really actually start having verbal conversations with one another.
Right. Amen. Right. That's cool. Amen. That's good. That's good stuff, Sudami. Glad you joined us again. Good job, everybody, man. It's been a really good night. Sister Janice.
How about that? excuse me.
Out there in Waikiki.
I know, right? I agree with what's been said as well. I think one of the things that I often say is to listen with understanding versus listening to respond. A lot of people and they waiting to respond, they're waiting to jump on, you know, one or two words that they heard at the very beginning and not understanding the true meaning or the true conversation that or true sentence that may have been said. So to listen to understand versus listen just to respond, I think you'll go a long way. I do think that there is a difference in saying that when Janine said something about she don't need a man, and I kind of agree with her when she said that, to the point where us women have enough things that we go through. We don't need drama. We don't need the headaches. We don't need you in our lives just to say there's a man in our lives, but we over here struggling. Still, you know, we got, you know, this headache, we can't do this, and you still laying in the bed and you driving, you know, our vehicle and we at work, and you know, we don't need that. So when she said I don't need a man because she can do it, so I get that.
Right.
We don't want that drama. But when you go back, like he said, biblically, oh yeah, we need one. I do. I don't know about nobody else. We need. Okay. So I get both of what she's saying. I think like everybody else says, she explained it very well. I think a lot of times when people hear that, again, they jump to ready to respond. Oh, how are you going to say you don't need a man? Da, da, da. No, you need to listen. So if you guys were on the line now, did not sit back, and I was watching you sit back and listen to what she said before you respond, you would have been just like the other guy. And, or then you would have been hanging up the phone saying, how dare she gonna get up here and talking about she don't need a man? Everybody need a man. Not what she was saying. Yeah. We don't want that drama. Right. No, we need that for somebody else. Again, it's been good. I'm glad I was able to get on. I thank you know, you guys for receiving us, allowing us to, you know, express our opinion. I think what I always say, communication is the key. If you can't communicate, you know, you won't have a decent relationship, be it friendship, marriage, whatever. You won't have the relationship that you so desire if you can't communicate. And what she said, put the phone down, turn the TV off, you know, computers, whatever, have that conversation. And you said 5 hours, within that 5 hours, have you an hour, 30 minutes or something where you talk, you communicate. I don't care if it's, you know, somebody's like, I don't want to go home about my day. I had a hard time. I don't want to talk about it. But guess what? That person that you're going home to could also help you maybe see what did transpire within that day that could happen, that could help you when you go back tomorrow. So sometimes sharing that information could really be beneficial to you. So communication is the key. I'll always say that. Be able to talk to one another. You'll go far. Thank you.
Amen. Good job, Sister Janet. Good job. Brother Josh.
Thank you, sisters. Thank you, brothers. I appreciate y'all with my weekly Tuesday night therapy sessions. I always get some from it. I love being here. I can't wait till next week. I love all y'all. Y'all have a good evening.
Good job, bro. Good job. Love you. Brother Joy.
Man, I tell you, this has been awesome. And I want to thank the ladies on the night. I want to just thank everybody, all the females, with their openness and their realness.
Like I said earlier when I responded, I kind of sit back and I listen, but I just know that Eve, I'm just talking about myself, I need to really learn how to communicate to females. And that was one of my downfalls, you know, when I early in my relationships. And I thank God now that I'm in a place that I'm better, I'm listening better, and I listen at what's being said. But the thing with me, as a man, if I don't understand something, I'm gonna have to ask the question, what did you mean by that? And that's why I talk about how communication is. You need to get the understanding of what's being said. So when she did say what she said and she explained it, see, I'm open enough to receive it and understand what's being said. But that's where that two-way communication comes in. And you got to be able to, a lot of times with us as men, we got to be careful that we don't wear a heart on our sleeve. And we got to continue to always show love, because love is not known until it's shown. So, but for me, I thank God that I'm able to listen a little better and be able to communicate to my significant other. So, but I am looking for someone to rub my feet. So,
that's right.
You only saying it because I said that too.
So I'm gonna go ahead and I'm getting the pedicure. So on Friday, so I'm just looking for somebody. I'm getting it on Friday, so I'm looking for somebody to love my feet. My feet will be good. So,
but all right, Brother John, we got a couple single ladies on here. You know, we'll get together after we log offline, and we're going to have to set up somebody over the pedicure and manicure department on every step of the way. But
All right.
Brother All Dakota. Right.
All right. That's right, George. Do some of them feet, bro.
Hey, that's right, man.
Yeah. Got your living room smelling like corn chips. Hey, but look here. That was good on tonight. Ladies was awesome. Awesome. Just from the little bit of time that I spent listening to you ladies, I see that any man that would be your husband would be a blessed man, because obviously you got a lot of wealth of knowledge. You made it very clear and cut and dry what you like and whatnot. And, you know, August the 21st will be 22 years of marriage for me. And I've never had my feet rubbed, and I done ate thousands of meals. Now, that would be nice to have while I'm eating, somebody rub my feet. And I work outside for the city of Columbia, so you can imagine as hot as it is, how it feels coming home. And that would be nice for my wife to bathe me when I come in. But if that hasn't happened in 21 and a half years, it probably won't happen in the next 21 and a half. But we love each other and we get along just fine. But that was awesome, ladies. I learned a lot from you. Your three BBQs, beautiful black queens. You're awesome, ladies. You've helped me out a lot tonight. That's why I sat so long and listened to the sister say she ain't heard her speak, because I was just trying to soak it in and listen a lot. But that was awesome tonight. And may God continue to bless you and order your steps, ladies, and every brother on here. We all got something out of it, I'm sure. So may God be with you, and God bless each and every one of you on tonight, and love you.
All right, back at you.
All right, love you too, bro. Brother Jonathan.
Well, I can tell y'all every week, guys, I appreciate y'all every week. But tonight, I appreciate God for giving us the presence and the voices of Sister Amy, Sister Janice, Sister Janine, and Sister Tev. I thank y'all for tonight, because I'm going to keep this thing tonight in my back pocket. I know I'm gonna look at this before I get a relationship, while I'm in a relationship, maybe before I get on a knee, maybe in the middle of my marriage in the future. But this is very powerful for me tonight. And I appreciate y'all. Appreciate everybody. God bless y'all.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you, cuz. Love you too, man. Love you, man. Brother Robert.
First week in September will be my 11th year of marriage.
Oh, no.
I'm thankful for tonight, and my takeaway is listen, communicate, the love of God. I'm going to carry that with me every day, because I can do better. And I thank the sisters, so powerful. Yeah. Y'all don't know how much y'all registered when y'all spoke honestly and truthfully, like little Elder Radden said, any man will be honored, and I'm sure whenever he do show up, y'all be ready. I thank you for your words of knowledge and wisdom. May God continue to bless you. Brothers, y'all know I love you. Thank you for your insight, Can't wait for next week. God bless you.
Amen. Love you too, bro. Dirty Bird.
You know I'm slow over here. I just want to tell the four ladies, and not against you guys tonight, but this is for the ladies. You ladies gave me what I call relationship building, foundation. I was like, and the one that, what's her name, Janine, with the one in the knees. Whew. Hey, that's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to throw my hands up on that one because, hey, that right there, whew, that one hit home. But not home in a bad way, but home in a good way. Y'all brought it tonight. So I'm just waiting. I think we need to have another round table next week.
I'm with that.
Good job, Dirty Bird. Good job, Brother Jerome.
Yeah. Good night tonight. I want to make a comment about something. Todd, you're wrong. I have said what Janine said, but I meant it totally differently than what she explained it.
Right.
And I think there are men like me, and I'm real. I didn't need a woman. My wife probably is looking at this right now and know that I've said this 1,000 times because there are men who got their stuff together just like women do. And I don't need a woman to do things for me like Brother Dakota said. You know, he cooked. My mom taught me to cook, clean up, take care of yourself, make sure you look out for yourself, be a man. I'm a man. So I never felt like I needed a woman. So it was just funny when I heard her say that. I had to look in the mirror because I've said it. Right. And I said it because I meant it. Now, she explained the way she meant it, and she explained it well. But I meant it totally opposite than what she said it. I meant it just like I want, like Denise said it. I didn't need the drama. If you're going to bring drama into my life, I don't need a woman for sexual needs and for all those things because I can handle my own. I take care of myself, or I can go without. So I believe that we got this thing started, Todd and Glenn, because we want to be real about things. We want to teach. But men feel the same way that women feel. Some men feel like they don't need a woman. Some men do feel that way. Some men have their stuff together just like women got their stuff together. Right. But what I've learned tonight, the takeaway I got tonight is I do need a woman. My wife do a lot for me. You know, I have some illnesses that I do need. We balance each other out. She balanced me out very well, actually. So some of the stuff that Janine said, those are the things that my wife do for me. But until Janine said it, I wasn't giving it the proper respect that it deserved.
Right.
So I thank Janine for that, because sometimes as men, we're getting what we need. We just don't know it what we see when we see it. So when you got somebody doing these things for you, and then you hear another woman say it, you say to yourself, wow, okay, I got that. I'm going to be honest with you guys, I got that. Andrina will go through hell and high water for me. She got my back, will fight for me. And I know this. So when I heard Janine explain it, but we got to be honest, at first she didn't explain it like some people say, listen, now when she explained it, I got it. And then what she explained to me was what my wife say to me. My wife do all that, man. Make sure I ain't got nothing to worry about. And then I balance her because, hey, she ain't got to want for nothing because I'm going to come through for her on the back end. So we got each other. So, Janine, I thank you for that. I really do. I thank you for that because I'm one of those guys just like you. I say I don't need no woman. I don't want no woman. I want a woman. I don't need no woman. And I know she's up there looking at this thing right now saying, I've said it 1,000 times. But I said it in a derogatory manner when I was upset. And that's being real. That's real talk.
Right.
But I'm being honest because that's how I felt. That's how I felt at the time. But now I know differently. So I thank Denine because she helped me to see my wife's true worth. And she explained some of the things that my wife always say to me that she's doing. But sometimes we don't give it credit. I thank you guys for tonight.
Right. Good job, Jay. Good job, bro. Love you, man. Oh, man. Before I turn it over to Brother Glenn, man, it's been really, I got a lot of nuggets from the ladies, man. Really, this thing is a good idea, having the ladies on, because we can't teach each other what y'all thoughts are, how y'all see relationships. So, man, great job tonight. Communication
communication nuggets is one of the ones I got, being the expectations. Expectation is, to me, not something we talk about enough as we should. When you're talking about commending somebody, I think expectation, man, we should talk about expectations more than once. Expectation shouldn't be something at the first date or the third date. We should always talk about what expectations are and where we at, where we stand with them. If I'm at zero, then we might have to make some adjustments. If I'm, mm-hmm. if I hadn't met any mark, but great job tonight, man. I love you guys. Tuesday night is just, it's crazy that I went from Friday and Saturday night being the hallmark of my week to Tuesday night. So Tuesday night it is for me, man. Brother Glenn, take me home.
Man, awesome. I think Brother Sister Janine, God really did use you to speak to us tonight, mm-hmm. because there were some things that you said that were just absolutely hit home. Yeah. It rang so many bells, especially within me. So I thank you for it. I thank you for the openness and the honesty of it. And I bless the fact that when this does get shared with other people, other men will hear that explanation, because mm-hmm. as Jerome said, we've heard it so many times in a derogatory manner that we mm-hmm. automatically believe that you are putting us down when you say you don't need us. But when you explain the difference between a need and a want, that mm-hmm. is a totally different understanding. And it was so relevant. So I bless him and I thank him for your transparency. All you ladies for your transparency mm-hmm. to say and to be a part of a conversation that needs to have more conversations about. It was a beautiful thing. And especially as men and women to come on a platform and share openly and honestly, uncut, unbiased, and unrestricted with each other to have these conversations. Because there are married couples, they're going to look back at this and go, man, I didn't know you felt this way, and come to a better understanding and possibly save marriages. I bless God for it. You all brothers don't know, man. I mean, I tell y'all so many times, you really do not know or understand how much y'all mean to me. It is definitely a part of my life to be on this forum and to be giving, and to be giving too is awesome experience. I love you all for it. So before we go, anybody got anything they want to pray about, any prayer requests? And is keeping out so we go into our prayer.
Hey, Glenn. No? This Dirty Bird. Hey, I want to pray for one of my coworkers, man. He was paying attention, but the other guy was not paying attention. Dropped the lift gate on my man's big toe, and I think they're probably going to do surgery in the morning to actually amputate it.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they say probably the width of a watch band was pretty much all he had hanging on there.
Oh, wow, God, bro. Anybody else?
Yeah, special prayer for my cousin that's in North Carolina. He's on oxygen, battling with COVID-19. Name is Pat up in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And also, I just want to, as you pray, we just want to, everybody just thank God for the night, because this was truly powerful. I mean, I've got a serious respect for relationship and for women, the way that was explained by Sister Janine.
Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Before I begin to pray, I just heard God, somebody said, you get ready to get some news. And this song came in my spirit. I've been through the storm and rain, and I made it. That song came into my spirit. I don't know who you are, but you are about to understand that you made it. What you came through does not define what you're about to walk into, and your ending is greater than anything that you set aside for, talked about, mistreated. All you got to do is sing inside yourself, I made it. You are not destined to stay in the midst of the mess that the devil thought he created and get you off track there. You are designed to walk through with your hands up and praise.
Yes, God. Thank God, you, Jesus. God has brought you
through this journey.
Yes.
It will be greater than your beginning, and you'll be the example of those who come behind you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, we give you all glory, honor, and praise, God, for all that is said and been done here tonight. Father, you sent these sisters our way, God, to open up our understanding of them.
Jesus.
Them, God. Father, we thank you that the words didn't fall on deaf ears, God, but on receptive hearts, God, and minds that want to be changed.
Man. Yes, right now, I got to do scripture relationships. Those here, God, and those above. Coming into this later that was restricted by it, Father. We have to do open up our understanding with one another, how to be receptive and communicative with each other. And we'll be able to hear, God, and listen with an open heart and receptive ears, God, and not quick to jump to conclusion, God, but yes, hear the whole matter. Father, we thank you for forgiveness right now, Father, how you've forgiven us for our sins and trespasses. And now, Father, we ask right now, those, God, that have been asked to be brought up on prayer, Father, that you guide the surgeon's hands tomorrow, Father, that you give oxygen, God, where it has been depleted, Father, and that you heal, deliver, and set free. Father, we know nothing too hard for you because you've shown us time and time again that you are a miracle worker, that you are a healer.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory out.
We surrender our way unto you, God, and we ask right now that you guide every step that we take, God, by your word, Father. Yes, we'll hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Yes, God, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
God, for this forum that you created, God, through the manservant that you've chosen, God, and we ask right now that you continue to bless it, God, it will be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Thank you for everything you do and every blessing you've given.
Thank
in the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. All in agreement, say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Great job. Brother Josh is on you teaching next Tuesday. Everybody amen. Have a blessed week and a great weekend. Love y'all.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Have a good one.
Go Bulls and go Lakers.
All right.
Oh, my God, man.
He said, go Patriots.
Boy, he said Lakers, man.
You said, go Patriots. Oh, Dakota, I didn't know you was a Patriots fan.
Yes.
Bye. Bye. I'm hanging
up. Oh, man. Oh, this football season is going to be crazy.